William Shakespeare is the
Shakespeare,
bard.
William Shakespeare,
Shakespeare is the bard. And rest.
Well.
How do you follow that?
That's it. That's all we need to say, I think. This is the shortest encyclopod ever. Well, it might actually be the shortest one ever, because it is quite a small subject as far as our subjects go, wouldn't you say, gentlemen?
Well, compared to like the history of radio or something like that, and yes, I would say.
Yes, I mean, it's the life of one man.
Yeah.
One great man, but still one man who there isn't actually that much record of, I don't think, but
yeah.
We'll hear about that later.
Yes, this is Encyclopod, or La Révolution Radio, depending on how things go tomorrow.
That's right, comrade.
It's UK election day tomorrow. It's probably
yes.
already passed by the time I've uploaded this, but... Sorry, who are you two people? We have some tired old Encyclopod guests.
My name's Ewan, if you don't know. I am a drama and theatre art student at Queen Margaret University, so hopefully I'll be able to talk about some of the subject I should be able to.
I'm James. I was the technology nerd on the radio episode of one of the drugs on the alcohol episode, and
well,
I don't know very much about Shakespeare, so my role is probably to ask the stupid questions.
Well, that's good, as long as we have the answers to those stupid questions, because
okay.
Otherwise we'll just all be stupid. Is there anything we should say about ourselves and what we've been up to lately? There has been a huge break again in Encyclopod.
Yes.
This better be good, because I've been brought out of the cryogenic storage facility in my garage especially.
No, that's wacky.
What?
No, it's okay, you can cut that. It's just you ask.
You asked some crazy
if
stuff.
If we've done anything recently since the last one, I was just going to imply that
yes.
I'd been frozen.
Oh, I see.
Just waiting
yes,
for
fans, that's
human.
Clever.
You heard that right, James has been frozen. So, actually, the
that
time that you might have felt, James has not felt any time at all, because he's been frozen. So,
okay.
Really, it's just been a day for you, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, you've just been shut down, because you're a robot.
Yeah, you are the robot.
That's right.
A frozen robot.
I can't think of anything noteworthy that's actually happened since last episode.
Possibly we might get a viewer in from Canada.
Really?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
A listener in anyway.
Oh, that one, yeah. Sorry.
Hopefully. And so we'd
God,
like
my
to...
my brain's totally missing today.
Oh, that's fine.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Sorry to those of you who tuned in the hope that you would hear the sweet tones of Heather, who
Bowery.
Is away at the moment. And also Gavin isn't here because he's away in Glasgow.
Yeah.
At his... very busy with his academy, as it's called.
Yep. Stuart is also away.
Stuart's away in Aberdeen.
Aberdeen,
yeah.
As normal.
Timmy, I don't know where he is. He's probably rehearsing for Billy Elliot or something.
Yes.
That's not just a general
excuse.
Sort of slight on his
that's not a
personality
normal.
Or
no.
any other aspect of him. It's actually a literal thing. He is actually in Billy Elliot at the moment.
Yeah, it's not a hobby he just does every so often, just go out and practice the script
yeah.
of Billy Elliot. He is involved in an actual ongoing
well,
project.
You mean there's other people in this too?
Well, I haven't actually met any of them, so that's to be seen. But I don't know, on opening night we will see if it's going to be a proper cast
opening
of
night.
Children or if it's just going to be one
you mean
sad
a
young man
as well.
On a stage.
In his head,
dancing
around. There will be hundreds
Ballet
of people
clubs.
In the audience and also a cast supporting him.
Okay.
To us,
night.
It may we may see the reality of him dancing in an alley.
Yeah.
Sorry, Timmy. if you listen. Right.
We'll apologise by putting your show forward and fronting it.
Yes.
Go along Billy to Billy Elliot, at the Festival Theatre.
Is it at the Festival Theatre? It'll be soon. This probably will be uploaded in time for you to go and see it, but I doubt anyone will actually listen to this before then. So.
Yeah, well.
You could have seen it. I'm sure it would be great.
Yes.
We should get onto Shakespeare now, shouldn't we?
Yeah, well, yes. That sort of one bit of the stage to the next bit of the stage, the most important bit. If you didn't know, our topic is William Shakespeare, the life of this great man.
Yes. I thought we should probably restrict ourselves to just his life, rather than all his work as well, because that would be a huge topic, actually.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll try and do something more ambitious with him later, but for now, this is his life. The man, the myth, the legend, William Shakespeare. Oh yes, our own opinions on the subject and what we knew about it before we started all this researching and stuff. What do you think about old Will Shakespeare?
I didn't know very much about him, only what I picked up from sort of general knowledge and from studying a few of his plays at school. I knew he was around sort of the time of Queen Elizabeth, but I didn't know exactly how long he lived or the exact date. So, and I didn't really know very much about what happened during his lifetime. I mean, I know a lot of people, like famous composers and famous artists I know of, were actually not very famous or well regarded in their lifetime and only recognised later. I had a feeling that wasn't really the case for Shakespeare, what with the being his Globe Theatre and everything, but I only had a sort of very vague idea about it, so it was interesting to read a bit more.
Well, I, being a drama student, which I think I mentioned already, have been taught at least quite a bit about Shakespeare, about the effect he had on the theatre at the time, mainly about his plays probably, and trying to understand his plays, which is quite a difficulty and a significance to the theatre. I don't think I know everything about Shakespeare, and I haven't seen Shakespeare in Love,
which I
think is an accurate account of his life, if that's to be believed.
I probably should talk a bit about that, actually, because it's the most recent big film about Shakespeare's life. Mm. It's not really accurate.
No.
I mean, we don't really know how accurate it is, but it's based on not very much evidence. It's just filling a lot of blanks with unlikely things. Not a bad film, though. Hmm.
Quite frankly, I like Shakespeare. A lot of people don't like him, especially lots of theatre critics and that, mainly because they find him either annoying or slightly boring or cliché-ish, but I like Shakespeare.
Me too. I hadn't learned to appreciate Shakespeare until after I started on my English course. We studied The Tempest in first year of uni, and it's the first one I'd actually read properly. Usually I would just like read it and not understand what the hell was going on, but this time I actually understood it because I looked at the notes that told you what the obscure words meant and stuff, and I really enjoyed it, actually. I also studied King Lear and As You Like It this year at uni, which is just finished the year, by the way.
I actually like Shakespeare too, although I'm probably not in as good a position to fully appreciate it or anything, but
well,
I do. I liked Shakespeare a lot better than some of the other stuff we studied in English anyway.
Favourite Shakespeare play, guys?
King Lear for me.
Probably Macbeth.
I like one of his lesser known plays, A Winter's Tale, myself.
Hmm.
Mainly because I saw it a few years ago back at the Lyceum, and the cast that performing it were doing did it brilliantly, so I've just, because of them, just really I really enjoy that play.
Okay. Let's get on to factual stuff about Shakespeare. Where's my list of things? Okay, parents. That's the first thing about Shakespeare. He had parents.
Yay.
I suppose he must have done.
Yeah. So his father was called John Shakespeare.
Ah.
He was basically quite a high up person in the community of Stratford. He wasn't. I don't think he was born. I think he was born in Snitterfield or something like that.
Maybe. It wasn't Stratford though. Yeah. You're right. They moved to Stratford.
He moved there. He became quite high up.
The one thing I know about him is that he, at least supposedly he would charge people, if he was the taxman, I think he was, or something like a taxman at the time, mm-hmm. they used to charge 20% interest on for certain people, so which wasn't very nice at that time.
Didn't he get into trouble over something?
Well,
and then
the thing is, yes, he was successful and quite prosperous for a while, but then later on in his life, something happened, we're not entirely sure what, and he seems to have been kind of, I don't think he was exactly, he lost his reputation completely, but he just slid out of public life and kind of lost a lot of his
influence?
Reputation?
Yeah, influence, and yeah, I think he lost a lot of his wealth as well, so I'm not entirely sure why.
And his mother?
I don't think we know, actually.
Oh, well.
His mother was Mary Arden, whose name may be familiar to readers of As You Like It, which is partially set in the Forest of Arden. I'm not sure if that's a coincidence or not. Don't know much about Mary, but she married John, obviously, and then they had some children. He had two older siblings, Jonah and Margaret, but both of them died before he was born.
Oh.
So they probably weren't that important in his own life. Shakespeare, that is. I don't know if I said that. Younger siblings he had four of, Gilbert, Joan, Anne, and Edmund.
Gilbert's the important one, I think.
What makes you say that?
Oh, just in general.
You're saying weird things, I don't understand.
Of all the Shakespeare siblings, I think Gilbert was the best.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course. William always lived in his brother's shadow. Gilbert Shakespeare, everyone remembers a lot better than him. But we like the underdog here at Encyclopod, so we're talking about William. Of them, none of them really did anything that astounding from our modern day perspective.
I heard at least a theory that all the Shakespeare family, apart from William Shakespeare, were illiterate.
John Shakespeare, I've heard, was illiterate, yes, despite his fairly high positions in the community of Stratford. He was illiterate. Oh, actually, I forgot to say about John Shakespeare. He was fined at one point for keeping a dung heap at his house in Stratford. Well, it was worse back then because of the plague and disease and stuff.
And there
it was
John.
More of a big deal. Nowadays, it would just be a nuisance and smell horrible. But well,
and there's just John, you know, trying to recycle, you know. Man before his time, I think.
Shakespeare himself, though, we should probably talk a bit about, because he's the important one. Who cares about the others? We don't know when Shakespeare was born, but he was born in Stratford-upon-Avon, which is in Warwickshire, by the way.
I think it was
you know
just
where
Stratford
that is.
At the time, though.
No, it might have been.
The river came later.
Yeah.
Did it?
No.
Okay. but Shakespeare was baptized on the 26th of April, 1564, and it's traditional that his birthday is observed 3 days before that, on the 23rd of April.
Yeah.
But we don't know that that's his birthday.
It's quite likely, because often people would have been baptized 3 days after their birth. So
it's not
possible.
That wasn't
anyway.
Universal, though. That wasn't really any rule or anything.
No.
It was just, probably the rough time. Also, he died on the 23rd of April.
The day he was born, apparently.
Much later. 1616, aged 52. So that, I don't know. People might want it to be true because it would give a symmetry to his life. Yeah, that was his birth. It was an unremarkable birth.
No shepherds visiting. No.
Well, we don't know
lights
that.
In the sky.
Well, actually, we don't know if it was an unremarkable birth because there's very little documents of Shakespeare's life. It's in the dozens of references to him in any form, really. Maybe there's more in plays and
probably was a very private man. Didn't like to live the celebrity life.
It certainly seems that he didn't flaunt his success and he didn't self-promote very much, it seems. Because if he had, then we would know a lot more about him. In a sense, it would have been good if he had.
Yeah.
Damn it, William. But then we would have had more to learn for this encyclopod. So in a way, it's good that we know not that much. Okay. School. Shakespeare went to school, and he probably went to King Edward VI Grammar School in Stratford.
Yeah, he would have been eligible for that because of his father's position, wouldn't he?
Yes. So historians have based the idea that he went there on that fact rather than actual evidence, because all the school's records were destroyed at some point. It was a free school to male children in his area that was set up by the Guild of the Holy Cross, which, as you might imagine, is some sort of religious institution thing. At this school, it's thought that he would have done a lot of Latin grammar and literature, and they would have used corporal punishment quite a lot, because that's what they were like in those days.
Oh, those silly guys.
Things hadn't moved on much from Egypt. That's a reference to a previous episode of Insight.
I thought that.
That education would explain, you know, some of how he got to be so good at writing, because he studied, you know, literature.
Yeah. Also, probably his curriculum would have influenced him in sort of writing about the classic sort of Greek and Roman sort of tales, such as Julius Caesar and Antony and Cleopatra.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff.
I also read somewhere that there's a possibility he would have seen certain plays when he was at school, which might have influenced him.
Yes,
later
that's
on.
Quite possible, actually. Most of the stuff I have on this sheet is speculation. Can't really emphasise that enough. Not very much of it is certain at all. So that was his school days. Don't know much about them. Another thing we don't know much about is his marriage. Although we do know that he got married on the 29th of November 1582 at a place called Temple Grafton, which was a village near Stratford, to a woman called
Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
So I think now has a very successful career as an American actress.
She does. Strange. She looks good for her age as well.
Very impressive.
At the time they got married, she was 26 years old, and he was 18.
She was also supposedly 2 months pregnant, so...
Or
naughty,
three.
Naughty Shakespeare.
Yes. I know. Well,
don't
yeah,
Shakespeare
it didn't
over
seem...
there.
I would have thought that would... be more of a scandal than it seemed to be, but it appears that it wasn't that big a deal in those days. I think maybe the whole sex before marriage thing was a bigger deal in Victorian times than it was back then.
Supposedly the marriage was, though, a shotgun marriage.
It does seem like it was done in a rush for various reasons, but we don't entirely know the reasons for that. It probably it had some impact on your respectability if you had children before marriage. Well, probably quite a big impact, but it wasn't like if you got pregnant before marriage, you would be in that much trouble. So, they had children. I don't know quite how that happened or what led up to that. But she gave birth, mysteriously, to Susanna was their first child. Born in 1583, just after they were married. Well, probably about
6 months or so.
Yeah.
His son passed away.
Yes, his son, they had twins in 1585, and his son, Hamnet with an N, not Hamlet, died in 1596 as a child, so he was either 10 or 11 then, I think. Very, very common for children to die early in life back then, so it wasn't a huge surprise, but it probably had an impact on Shakespeare and his writing. I can't see how it wouldn't. Hamnet's sister, twin sister Judith, however, survived quite a lot longer than that, till 1662. So that's his children in a nutshell.
Not literally. They were never kept in nutshells.
We can't really.
Oh yeah, we can't
confirm
really
that.
No.
They may have been. Oh yes. As if we weren't being vague enough already. What follows is Shakespeare's lost years.
Oh, also just one last thing on the possibility that Shakespeare also had a bastard child as well.
Oh, I read this,
Yes, that's a theory that has been...
A claim as well.
There. He was... I think this the person, child in question, was his godson.
Yes,
for
that's
sure.
Definitely godson.
There's no real evidence to suggest he was more than that, but...
Well, the guy did claim himself to be the son of Shakespeare.
Well, so. He wouldn't really remember, though.
True.
Considering he was being conceived at the time.
True, no, he wasn't really that much there. Though, I mean, he could have been told that.
He could have been told that, yeah.
And
but we don't really know.
He became a poet laureate, I think, or something. Mm. Yeah, he was quite important. Yeah, he was
good on you, possible Shakespeare.
He was
child.
Also quite literally gifted, so that might have hinted towards.
Well, if you think that literary genius can be passed on genetically.
Yes, I do.
Do you?
I mean,
no.
Okay.
I think it's all random.
It's also the only possibility that Shakespeare's descendants are still living
well,
today.
Well, yes, because I'll talk a bit about the children now, because Susanna married a man called John Hall, had a daughter who didn't have any children. The line ended there. Judith Shakespeare married Thomas Quiney, or I don't know how you pronounce that, but they didn't have any children. The line ended there. So that was it.
And Hamlet was 11 years old,
yes.
So very unlikely he'd have a kid.
Unless
so.
He... No, let's not go there. Lost years of Shakespeare. What happened then? Let's have a big speculation fest about that. Because we have no evidence of what he was doing from the years 1585 to... not 1552. 1592. though... Scholars are constantly coming up with theories based on almost nothing.
So it's a period of 70 years.
Yes.
Between when he was, what, about 21
between
to
when he had his second and third children and 1592 when he suddenly, miraculously appeared on some records in London and apparently had been there for quite a while, like working on plays and stuff.
Hmm.
So that's he was... probably quite busy in that time.
Do we think he wrote some of his plays during that time?
It's
but
possible,
they weren't published
we
till later.
We don't really know. We don't even know when a lot of his plays were first performed, because a lot of the records don't have any date on them. There's a story of him poaching deer.
Yeah, that's what apparently got him kicked out of Stratford.
Yeah, that's a theory.
Yeah, deflated.
But we don't know that he got kicked out of Stratford.
Free.
And there'd probably be some legal record of it if that was the case. And I don't think there is, at least not one that we found personally, any of the three of us.
You know,
and I've been hunting all my life.
David digging through Stratford upon Avon's forgotten library.
Yeah, we should clarify we haven't been there. Well, actually, maybe some of us have.
Have
you two
been
there?
Not that I can remember.
Our research is conducted, in case you don't know the way that Encyclopod works, mostly it's from Wikipedia. And things that we happen to find out from other sources as well. And this time I have read an entire book on Shakespeare by Bill Bryson, which is an excellent book, actually. And if you actually want to know stuff about Shakespeare and not just hear people mumbling vaguely about it, then you might want to buy it. I will give the proper reference for it over the closing music of this episode. It's a very good source, and a lot of the stuff that we're going to be talking about is... the source is from that. Okay, so lost years. They're lost. Who knows what happened, really? No one. That's who.
We can only assume. I mean, I heard that he went across the globe discovering lost civilizations, had hundreds of bastard children.
A lot of people have tried to use these lost years to justify certain things about Shakespeare's writing, like certain metaphors or areas of expertise he seems to show in his work. Like, he uses a lot of sea metaphors, so people speculate that he was sailing during that time or travelling around the world gaining life experience, but we just don't know.
Well,
stop
actually,
asking.
From what I've read, actually, it said it seems a lot of experts think that most of the knowledge he shows in his plays could have been discovered by, anyone really at the time who was interested enough to read up on it. You know, there wasn't something that would necessarily have required him to be doing any particular thing or have experience of any particular thing.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. We have a nice quote from 1592 when he was insulted quite a lot by Robert Greene, who was a poet or playwright who was dying, and he published a little book where he just ranted about things and called Shakespeare an upstart crow. Basically said that he was... implied that he was...
a pretentious little
good, I can beep something. implied that he was a kind of a fake. Not necessarily in the literal sense of stealing people's work or claiming to write things he hadn't, but in the sense of... he wasn't as good as people thought he was, and Robert Greene was bitter about this, so he published this
bitter Robert
this
Greene
thing.
So bitter.
Just insulting him. But it's a very useful reference, actually, because it tells us that Shakespeare was already well known enough to be insulted by this guy. Mm. By 1594, we know that Shakespeare was with a playing company called Lord Chamberlain's Men, for whom he acted and wrote. He was also part owner of it. So by this time he was very much into the theatre, and his calling had been discovered, so from here on he was writing plays quite a lot.
And acting in them.
Well, yes, he was also acting in them. Just to clarify the whole acting thing, he remained an actor through his whole career, really, even when he was really successful, and he had small parts in his own plays, people think, like the ghost in Hamlet.
That was apparently his favourite role.
Mm, yes, that's what we are led to believe, and he probably had a large role in staging his plays as well as writing them.
The best described of him, it was a lecturer told me that he was apparently the Spielberg of his day, really. Mm.
So he had a lot of creative control.
Yeah. I mean, there's no actual director role at all in the stage at that theatre at the time, and that was a lot later, probably 19th century, before the director came about. Mm. But he was probably able to at least instruct the other actors into how he felt the play was supposed to go.
Hmm. Yes, it does seem that way. He does seem to have been very involved in the whole process. He also had principal roles in a few plays in his time, but not his own. Ben Jonson's Every Man in His Humour was one of them. I think that was in the late 16th century.
So what was the first of his plays to come about?
We have absolutely no idea.
Right.
It could be one of many. I mean, we have some idea of the order. We know roughly what ones are the last ones that he wrote, because I think by the end of his career there were better records of these things. So, yeah, another thing about his plays, it's not entirely biographical for him, but interesting. I think it seems to be assumed that a lot of his plays were abridged when they were originally performed, so they weren't actually the entire play. They had bits cut out of them, so it may be that the text that we read is actually not what was first performed.
Hmm.
In fact, the texts that we read are usually compiled from many different sources, because the first folio, which was a thing published quite late on, with some of his works in it, was not actually that definitive. It had some bits missing that were in other copies of the plays, so people have kind of had to stitch together Frankenstein-y versions of his plays.
Yeah. Well, I think that all his plays were published after he died or something? Or collected properly after he died?
Yes, I think the first folio was published after he died. That was one that collected most of his plays. It was later kind of updated with more of them and more definitive versions of them.
And this is basically what I understand from research and stuff I heard ages ago, so I don't think you can actually properly sort of quote me on this. But that at the time, playwrights were, especially active playwrights at the time, didn't want to sort of publish their work, because that sort of made it open for anyone to go and actually put the plays on and actually make money out of it.
Mm.
But that so when a playwright was actually working and had his individual company, that as Shakespeare did, he wrote his plays, but only for his company to actually put on, so they actually gathered more of an audience, and that when the plays were written, each part was separated out so that like. The actor who was playing like Hamlet got only his lines, and another character who was like say playing the ghost only got his lines, and so they actually didn't have the full script ever, so that no other person could actually steal it and actually get his hands on the full copy, so that they could actually, because it's not published, they're allowed to put it on and actually pay a charge and actually steal the play and like maybe even publish it themselves.
Mm.
So that was the practice of the time, I believe, Elizabethan.
That makes sense.
I don't know whether there was such a thing as copyright in those days.
Well, it was a lot different in those days. I think there probably was some sort of laws about it, but people constantly borrowed ideas from each other, I mean, quite shamelessly. I mean, Shakespeare, a lot of Shakespeare's works are based on other works, very, very strongly based on other works. King Lear is based on another work called King Lear.
Original.
Spelled slightly differently.
Always look at
it.
The story it's like Shakespeare took it and improved it a lot and did his amazing language things with it. And I think you changed the ending, and I mean it's pretty different work, but the influences are incredibly obvious if you know them. And you know, often he would have characters named the same as the thing that he stole them from. So I don't think he thought of it as stealing. I don't think anyone did. It was the way it worked back then.
Yeah.
So we can't really hold him to today's standards of
no
copyright law. Oh yeah, I was talking about Lord Chamberlain's men. I have a bit about them here. Shakespeare worked for them for most of his career, and, you know, wasn't just like he worked for them. He was an active participant and part owner of them. Probably founded in 1594, as I said. And when King James I came to the throne in 1603, he became the company's patron, and it became the King's Men. And he was often in the audience of their plays. Most of the plays they performed were Shakespeare's, but they also did a few plays by other people like Ben Jonson and possibly Christopher Marlowe. We're not sure. And together, the King's Men, no, it'll be Lord Chamberlain's Men then, but built the Globe Theatre in 1599 in Southwark, London. I don't know an awful lot about the Globe Theatre, but...
It burnt down.
Yes,
I think because
I know
the
that.
King was actually visiting it, and they set a fire
sure.
off.
I'm not sure. Well, I think it was a misfire from a cannon on stage. I'm not sure why they had a cannon that was capable of actually burning the place down. It's
probably a very impressive production, though,
probably
if it didn't get burned down.
Quite primitive in the way of special effects on those things.
Yeah.
If you wanted something that looked like a cannon and sounded like a cannon, you probably had to have a cannon.
Pretty impressive, though, very realistic. I think they went the full 10 miles, so... This is just another theory that I've heard, but that Shakespeare wasn't actually a very big fan of King James, even though his company was the King's Men. One was, like, of course, the play Macbeth, which was apparently aimed to actually, when the king was coming in, a Scottish king, of course, taking power and that kind of stuff, which is looked to sort of a bit of a warning in that.
That's interesting, because when we studied Macbeth at school, I remember... my teacher saying that she thought the character Duncan, you know, the original king who was murdered by Macbeth in the play, was actually based on the king at the time. Because Duncan was supposed to be really sort of well liked and a really good king and things, and Shakespeare wanted to.
I think we can we can be fairly sure that he wouldn't have made it too obvious that he didn't like King James if
I
that
think
was
that's
the case.
True, yes.
So you know, unfortunately we may never know.
We
about
may never
that.
Know.
Oh, I knew there was a good quote somewhere about the fire. A theatrical cannon set off during the performance misfired, igniting the wooden beams and thatching. According to one of the few surviving documents of the event, no one was hurt except a man whose burning breeches were put out with a bottle of ale. That's from Wikipedia. It was rebuilt the following year.
Well, the breeches.
Yes, the breeches were rebuilt.
The poor man
year.
Standing naked in the cold all that time.
Yeah.
Yep.
The true tragedy.
Yeah, that poor man. But I heard that that actually the Globe was destroyed twice or something.
Yeah, it was destroyed again because it was rebuilt. But the one that's there now doesn't date from that time. There's a reconstruction of it now, which opened in 1997.
Good place.
Which is not even on the original site. It's a little way away from it.
The one that burnt down, did they move it or something across the river? And it was actually it worked out better for them because they got a better sort of place and more clientele.
It was the one that burnt down was actually the one that got moved across the river.
Well, so they moved it across before it burnt down.
Yeah, they did.
In one piece.
They dismantled it and took it across there.
Yeah, but
they did have insurance on that, right?
I don't know. Insurance probably wasn't as reliable back then, even as it is now.
I don't think it would be reliable now, I'm sure. There's probably some clause
probably,
in your building that you would say you can't fire a cannon inside of there.
That's true, yeah.
Damn.
I don't know, but they did quite well, so they probably... they did manage to rebuild it, and it wasn't like they disbanded after that or anything. Anyway, back to William. An interesting little side note here. He apparently wanted to be a gentleman. He had some aspirations in that regard. And people to do with the theatre were not entirely respected, though, in those days. So he wouldn't necessarily have been eligible for a coat of arms if it wasn't for his father, who was, if not truly respected by that point, at least had some of the status, residual status left over from his glory days. For William to apply to a coat of arms and get one in 1596 for his family. At least we think it was Shakespeare who applied for it. It has a spear on it, and it says not without right in Latin, I think, which is a bit of an arrogant thing to put on a coat of arms, do you think? Not without right.
Not for the greatest playwright of our time.
Yeah, I think, if anyone deserves one, it's him, definitely.
Yep. Well, I mean, out of all people at that time, I think I only really remember Shakespeare. I guess you could say King James
famous.
And Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah,
but
King James, by the way, is the one who the Bible is named after. He had a big part in...
So he wrote something as well.
In making that new version of the Bible.
Yeah.
Very popular Elizabeth. Fiction, we didn't really talk about Elizabeth I at all, but she was the one who was in power before he took over.
Yeah. Apparently, and this is... Yes. I think this is the least likely and most crappy of the sort of theories, is that Queen Elizabeth... wrote all the works of Shakespeare, even the ones after she passed away.
We'll get to the crazy crackpot Shakespeare authorship theories.
Yes, but that's the biggest of them.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, they'll probably do that at the end, just as a little comic relief bit or something.
Yeah. Did she go to them? I'm not sure.
I think she did. I'm sure I heard something about Twelfth Night being written specifically to be performed to her, but I don't know how much evidence there is for that. I think she probably did at some point.
In Shakespeare in Love, I think she did.
Yeah, she did in Shakespeare in Love, but as we have established, that's not necessarily a historical document.
The great Judy Dench.
She also looks exactly like Judy Dench.
Yes.
Yes, Elizabeth I was, I think, partly responsible for the anti-Catholic feeling around that time. Catholicism was sort of, if not illegal, then borderline illegal. Protestantism was the new trendy thing, and none of the cool kids were Catholics anymore.
Wasn't he?
Was James the First not a Catholic?
Well, his mother was a Catholic.
Yeah, his mother definitely was.
Well, I was about to say that I think he relaxed the laws a bit. I'm not sure if he actually said. I'm not going to talk about this because I don't know.
It's straying off the
It's royalty. Yeah.
But anyway. Basically. It's relevant in that Shakespeare's religion is often called into question. There's a little evidence to suggest that his family might have been Catholics, but although they at least pretended to be Protestants, as was the wise thing to do back then.
And here's me thinking they were Scientologists.
Yeah, there's also that theory. But unless radical new evidence shows up, we're not going to know for sure. But it's not a completely unsubstantiated theory. There is some documents involving members of his family being suspiciously Catholic seeming, but we don't know. 1596, at this point he was living in St. Helens in Bishopsgate in London. And 1598 was when his name started to appear on the title pages of his plays, which was unusual back then, because authors weren't really used as a selling point usually. But obviously he got to the stage where he was famous and respected enough that he could use his name as a selling point. So that was very useful for knowing which plays are written by him. He moved to Southwark about the time the Globe was built in 1599. And during his time in London, more generally, he got quite rich. And he did seem to flit about a lot in London, buying different properties and stuff. He also bought some quite expensive properties, like New Place in Stratford, which is quite a big house, the second largest in Stratford, where Anne Hathaway sat around and twiddled her thumbs when he was off cavorting in London. Mm. Well, we don't know what she did, actually, but...
Contemplating an acting career.
Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, which she decided to do hundreds of years later.
Oh, of course, yes. When it was acceptable for women to be in...
On the stage.
...in acting. That's almost the end of what we know about him in London, really. Apart from that he wrote loads of plays, which I assume you already knew. Actually, we should have said that at the beginning. We usually like to state the obvious.
Oh, yeah.
William Shakespeare was a famous English playwright.
Yes.
And
emphasis
poet.
On that.
What?
And poet.
And poet, of course. Yes, he wrote some nice sonnets and stuff, and a few other poems.
He was called...
He's often called the greatest writer who ever lived.
Playwriter, anyway.
At least playwriter, but I mean, I don't know who you would really put up against him in terms of writing in general. Not, I mean, I'm Jesus? Not saying he's the best, but... Yeah, Jesus was quite a good writer.
Well, I don't know, you could say the Beatles were very good songwriters.
You could. Yeah, I would say that, in fact, but...
But Shakespeare didn't really do very good songs, I think.
Yeah, some of them... You know, his first album was good, but after that, he just got a bit...
I think there's too much pressure on the second
album.
Yeah.
Recording quality was rubbish back then.
You heard one of his hits at the beginning of his podcast, of course. Of course. He got a bit self-obsessed, to be honest.
Translated from the original French.
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
anyway, let's stop being silly.
He was also called the Bard, and... Everyone,
oh, that's true, yes.
Everyone, at least in London, has to read at least one of his plays during high school, and Americans wish they had him, in general.
Well, not all of them, but
yes, they do.
Okay, fine.
Well, if you want to be pedantic about it, it was kind of before America split off from Britain when Shakespeare was there.
So they could claim that Shakespeare would have gone over to America if he'd been around when that happened.
Well, it's like he's kind of just as much from their origins as he is from ours, if you see what I mean, in a way.
Yeah, but that would sort of be...
That's true, yeah. Hmm. Okay, later years of Shakespeare. He seemed to stop writing plays in his later years. It's quite sad.
Yes.
After his... He had a huge burst of creativity where he wrote some of his most respected plays and best works. But later on, he didn't really seem to do much at all. In the last few weeks of his life, Shakespeare changed his will to protect Judith's estate from Thomas Quiney, who was either her husband or was about to become her husband because he was accused of fornication.
Which is a naughty thing.
Yep, it's a very naughty thing, which could have been quite a scandal, but I mean, she did end up marrying him anyway, I think, so obviously not a huge amount of scandal. It seems like Elizabethan or Jamesian. What's the word? It's not Jamesian.
I don't think it's Jamesian.
No, they ignore the guys.
Well, at least at that period of time, people weren't quite as bothered about sexual transgression as they were in Victorian times. Mm. So that was one of the last things he did. And he died!
Oh.
Which was the last thing he did, I heard.
There was a lot more.
On the 23rd of April, 1616.
Apparently on that day. We're not sure about that either.
Aren't we?
No.
I thought we were.
No, not on the day he died. There's a bit of debate about that as well.
Well, some people would claim that he is still alive somewhere, along with Elvis and Michael Jackson.
On that planet that they share.
But he was survived by his wife and his two daughters, and he was buried at Holy Trinity Church in Stratford, and he didn't receive this honour because he was such a great playwright. He received it because he gave some money to the church. There's also a monument on the wall there, a bust of him writing, which his family probably arranged to have put there, and the quill in his hand is changed every year on his birthday, or what we think is his birthday.
It apparently wasn't originally a quill. Fish or something. Or
what?
A sausage. I'm not sure.
You're making that up.
No, I'm not. I heard this. This is true. That actually, that it was because afterwards, they knew that Shakespeare would become quite a sort of tourist attraction. They changed it to him holding a quill.
Why would they have him holding a fish?
I think it was a family trade.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but this is what I heard.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyone who knows, email in.
Yes. If you, just tell us all the mistakes we made.
Yeah.
Just do a. Could you just edit this again and have your voice come in and say what we're saying wrong? It may take a while, but do that.
It might be three times as long as
we'll
the original
put an alternative
or something.
We'll give you an alternative, accurate version on the website.
We'll give you a few sound bites for it. Yes, that's true. Very good. Oh, I didn't know that.
No, that's completely wrong, Alex. No, that's completely wrong, James. What am I saying? You can edit those in, you see.
Yeah, okay. See?
Eureka!
Your options are open. The world is your oyster. His epitaph, believed to have been written by Shakespeare himself, goes a little something like this. Good friend, for Jesus' sake, forbear to dig the dust and close it here. Blessed be the man that spares these stones, and cursed be he that moves my bones. It's quite a morbid sort of epitaph. He doesn't really go on about the wonder of life much.
His grave was moved in 1927. No, it wasn't.
Oh, that would be silly. Oh yeah, his will. We should talk about a bit about his will.
It was funny.
The most famous line from his will is that he left his wife the second best bed.
Yep. He was always using the first one.
So that's caused possibly more speculation than any other document to do with Shakespeare, because it suggests to some people that he didn't get on with his wife, but other people just say that she might have got the best bed automatically, or the second best bed might have been the one that they shared, and the best one might have been the guest one, so he might have given it to her, the second best one, for romantic reasons or something.
Lovely.
But it looks like a hastily added bit, like he hadn't thought to even mention her until
then. Oh yes, that woman, of course, I married her.
She didn't really put anything affectionate into his will about anyone.
He gave his daughter a lot of the money.
Yeah, I mean, most of his money, I think, was shared between his daughters. He gave some to the poor of that area, Stratford, I think.
That was nice.
Yeah, so we don't really know what he was thinking, and well, we really know very little of his personality.
We don't really know what his comes image either.
I mean, in his plays come across as very wise and quite compassionate and able to see things from many angles, but we just don't know what he was like. There's no way. Probably we will never know, unless we find some very startling documents.
The Diary of William Shakespeare.
That would be great.
That'd
wow.
be very useful.
So, what else do we need to talk about? There is a few little miscellaneous things.
Okay.
I'll start one. His apparent sort of strong views on anti-racism, if that's a word. There's a lot of hints in his plays that apparently he subtly sort of put forward sort of that he disagreed with, like, say, anti-Semitism or prejudice against black people or that. Like in his plays Othello or Merchant of Venice.
Doesn't seem like a nationalist in any sense, because he didn't focus on his own country in his work very heavily at all, really.
No.
A lot of his work is in other places,
Italy,
parts of the world.
Or romantic
places. Except maybe his histories, but they're a different matter, really.
They are. Unfortunately, though, some of his plays have been used, mainly Merchant of Venice, by, say, people like the Nazis to sort of put forward anti-Semitic messages.
Have they?
Yeah, the Nazis used it quite a bit.
Well, they used a lot of stuff that was...
They did, but it's unfortunate that...
Irrelevant to them.
It's unfortunate that piece of art, though, was used.
Well, yes, it always is.
Corrupted.
Oh, well. But almost anything could be corrupted if you really want it to.
Yes.
Oh, here's another aspect of Shakespeare that is the subject of heated debate amongst scholars. Sexuality.
Is it true he was a transsexual nymphomaniac?
Well, surprisingly, we don't know that. There has been much speculation, mostly because of his sonnets. A lot of them appear to be related and addressing the same person. Well, there's a few people he's addressing in his sonnets, seemingly. We don't know for sure, but it appears this way. One of them is a dark lady, whose identity has also been the subject of much debate. There is a man who is addressed in a kind of neutralish way. And then there's another one who is apparently a young man, and a large percentage of his sonnets are addressed to this person, apparently. And it's quite romantic. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? That famous line was addressing a man. We don't know if this reflects on his own sexuality, though, because he could have been adopting a character.
It's possible.
It's entirely possible. I mean, there's lots of stuff in his...
I don't think it's very popular at the time, but I'm not sure.
To take on a character when writing poetry.
Yeah, I think that became later, but I'm not sure. I'm really not sure.
Yeah, well, we don't know, but that's been the subject of much speculation, and not without foundation, really, because...
Do you know how they know that they were written to a man?
I think it's included in the sonnets themselves that it's a man that's being addressed. I'm not entirely sure, but there doesn't seem to be much debate that they are addressed to a man, but it's a question of whether also the language used, some people would say back then language that sounds romantic to us now was used in a much more platonic way.
Yes, that's probably true.
Yes,
certainly is true from other examples of the time.
One thing that I heard a little fact was that in the original script of Hamlet, or the most original we can get, in the last, like, so many lines, it spelled out every letter on the last on all the lines says, "I am a homosexual."
The thing is that you can. It's interesting.
There's a lot of weird codes people have found in Shakespeare.
Yeah, you can find weird codes like that in almost anything,
yeah,
though.
True.
There was like. Sorry, this is a tangent, but it was so funny, I couldn't help but bring it up. I was reading.
Yeah,
you know, did you hear about this Bible code thing where. You know, this guy had claimed to find predictions of various events for the future in the Bible. If you looked, you know, if you took every however many letters and put them together and stuff like that, then when he was like addressing his critics at some point, who said that it was just random nonsense, and he said, "Well, when people find assassinations predicted in Moby Dick, maybe I'll believe that." So some of them went off and trawled through Moby Dick using a computer and found brilliant predictions of loads of assassinations in it.
Wow.
In just the same style as he did for the Bible.
Awesome.
So yeah, you can find things like that in anything if you look hard enough and use the right methods.
True.
Okay.
But yeah,
that was a good tangent.
Well, I don't know. His sexuality probably will never be revealed.
Probably never.
Maybe not a significant part to his work, though.
Well, I mean, no, because one of his many talents was just so many points of view in his
work.
Well,
yes,
exactly. Huge variety of characters.
That's also another reason why we can't tell what the hell he was like from his work, because, you know, he can't be like everyone in his plays.
That's probably one of the most impressive things about Shakespeare is, like, the difference between his, like, his protagonist, his antagonist, and Hamlet's definitely not like Macbeth, and all other such things. I think it's more accepted, at least I believe, that he might have had a mistress or that, or that he did in fact have some sex outside of marriage.
Yes, that's also been speculated. It's not a huge amount of evidence, but there is a diary entry from a lawyer called John Manningham, which suggests as such, but people are sceptical of that. It's not definite, but it's entirely possible that he had affairs with women. And it's entirely possible that he was bisexual.
Yeah.
Or even homosexual.
Yeah.
You know, because
so.
A lot of homosexuals get married, especially if they're in societies that don't see homosexuality as a viable option. Although it wasn't, I think it wasn't actually incredibly illegal. It was probably borderline illegal as well, but it was certainly tolerated to some extent back then. So, that's a little bit about hot Shakespeare love.
Oh yeah.
And now I only have one thing left, really, on my little sheet, and that is authorship of Shakespeare's work. Now, this seems to come up a lot in discussions about Shakespeare, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it seems to be quite a widespread subject.
Such as, like, the missing plays and that.
Well, the missing plays, I should talk about them as well. They're a slightly different issue, but there's a couple of plays, the names of which have turned up in various documents, but which have never been found, that were probably written by Shakespeare. We'll probably never find them now.
Such as?
Love's Labour is one.
Little Not to Do But Everything?
I don't think that's one of them.
Damn it. So I can write it then.
Yeah, you can. That's a good idea. If a fringe show hasn't already beaten you to it. And there's plays that are speculated that may have been written by Shakespeare, but we doubt it, so not us personally. And ones that may have been collaborations between him and someone else. So which plays were actually written by Shakespeare is always a matter of debate. But the authorship question is more generally about whether Shakespeare was the true author of the huge body of works that we actually think are written by him. The ones that you can buy in a volume called The Complete Works of Shakespeare or something similar. Presumably he's a real person, but some people think it was used by other people as a name to publish their plays. And it does seem quite a widespread idea, but among the academic world it seems to have about as much respect as, say, climate change denial has in the scientific world, because there's practically no evidence for it at all. Well, I've got one main example here of someone who became very convinced that Francis Bacon had written all Shakespeare's works. She was a crazy woman from Ohio called Delia Bacon, who wasn't actually related to Francis Bacon, as far as we can tell. But she came to England to find evidence for her theory. Didn't find any, and then published a book anyway about how Francis Bacon had written Shakespeare's works.
Good for you.
And a lot of people have just sort of gone along with it, but it's really... And there's also other theories like the 17th Earl of Oxford, Edward
that
de Vere.
That seems to be a popular one.
Yes, Christopher Marlowe, who was also a playwright of that time.
Yeah, he was good.
Mary Sidney, Countess of Pembroke. They're all sometimes batted around as possible Shakespeare people, but there are the sort of theories that you can only really believe if you really want to believe them, because there is really no evidence at all.
Well, I enjoyed reading about this because I quite enjoy reading debunkings of mad conspiracy theories and things anyway for some reason, but it did seem like there was not that much evidence of who Shakespeare's plays were actually written by,
well,
but most of the evidence that there is points to it being him.
His name on them and on documents relating to them describing him as the author and stuff
his
like
signature.
That.
Well, it's about the best you're likely to get on something of that age, I expect.
Some people just seem to have difficulty with the idea that he was born... His background wasn't even that humble. It was just his father was quite respected in the community at the time he was born, and, you know, he had a fairly okay upbringing. It wasn't like he was completely deprived. His father may have been illiterate, but people just seem to think Shakespeare was unworthy of the plays that he wrote. And, you know, if you're one of those people, then maybe you have evidence that we don't, but I don't understand why people believe that. It seems a bit bonkers, actually.
It did to me. I didn't see anything when I was looking that made me think there was any truth to it.
I think some people get that question mixed up with whether he stole them from people as well. Which, you know, to some extent he did, but no more than everyone else at that time. Certainly the versions of them that were around before him weren't as good, generally. He had a talent for finding stories that could be improved upon and writing them much better. So, that's Shakespeare for you. I don't know if we have all that much left to say about him.
No.
Any closing thoughts?
I got a closing little last fact.
Okay.
He was actually quite a polite person, at least in his plays. The worst he ever said or put as an insult was, "You elephant's pizzle."
Wow.
Which is actually quite a good insult, I think.
That is a good insult.
Yeah.
I might have to use that one.
I will use that one.
We should return to Shakespeare at some point at least when I've read a few more of his plays, having only read a few of them. I don't feel qualified to really talk in depth about his work yet, but maybe sometime, because I do like his work. It can actually be very entertaining and it's satisfying. Maybe I just feel good about myself because I can understand it now. That might be the main reason I like it, but I've heard they're good. The general consensus seems to be that he's pretty good.
Yes.
Definitely go and actually see one of those plays. It's also something to actually enjoy watching.
Yes.
If they're staged well, then it can be quite exciting to watch.
Something
about them. His language is so unusual. Even for its time, it was really unusual. He invented a lot of words that we very commonly use now. So, thank you, William Shakespeare.
Oh yeah, he did invent a few words. What were they again?
There's a list of them in this Bill Bryson book. I will just try and find it. You two stall.
So I like Shakespeare.
I like Shakespeare
too. Is there a Shakespeare Day?
I don't know. It would have to be the 23rd of April if there was, wouldn't it?
I think there probably is a Shakespeare Day.
Why isn't it a holiday, damn it? I want a holiday for work every year for each of the good people from history.
Wow, a whole year off.
At least 365 of them. I feel it's the least I deserve, getting to enjoy all their amazing works for nothing and everything.
True.
Okay, here's a list lifted directly from Bill Bryson's Shakespeare, which, again, I should say is a good book. Among the works first found in Shakespeare are Abstemious, I don't actually know what that means, Antipathy, Critical, Frugal, Dwindle, Extract, Horrid, Vast, Hereditary, Excellent, Eventful, Barefaced, Assassination, Lonely, Leapfrog, Indistinguishable, Well-Read, Zany, and countless others, including countless.
Very good. Well, good work, Shakespeare. There you go.
Yeah.
Good work,
that
Bill.
That is amazing.
You did us proud, son.
Aye.
Nothing more to say, is there?
No.
If you take issue with anything we've said, which I'm sure many people will, send us an email about what we've got wrong or what we've got right or what you think about Shakespeare or any more interesting Shakespeare facts that you have or what your theories are for what he was doing in the lost years. I'm sure You can come up with something
What's
great.
What's the email, James?
someone@encyclopod.co.uk.
Ooh, that's a good address.
There you have it.
And if you want to go to the website, I never say this actually, go to encyclopod.co.uk, and it's all purple and glorious and stuff.
Although you'll probably only be able to listen to this if you're already at the website.
It's true. It's very true. Just in case you've like come across this by accident, or you know.
Or we've got the RSS feed working again, and you've found it.
Yeah.
On some
Sorry about the RSS feed, by the way. I'll work on getting that fixed. So we're going to do another Encyclopod at some point in the near future.
Good. Very near.
I don't know what on yet, but we will think of something.
Possibly on if we've got a fantastic government going, or if the country's going to the dogs.
Yes, we might. We might be recording the next one from a bunker somewhere. I'll take this bit out if the party we're all scared will get in doesn't get in.
Yeah, we've got nothing to fear, really.
No, I thought you were going to say you would take it out if they did get in case they
No,
we must fight the power and show ourselves.
I'm not gonna say what party it is because we try not to be political here, but here's a hint. We're all under 60.
Yeah. Don't vote.
Also, we live in Scotland.
Don't vote. That's other hint.
Okay,
I
well,
there's a subliminal message from you in there. So.
Too late now.
Don't vote.
Too late. They Probably already vote. Have or haven't.
Yeah, hopefully haven't. Alright, but anyway.
Okay, we better just go.
Well, don't next time, you idiots, anyway.
Yeah, enough of monetized, but one last time, thank you very much, Will, Bill, William, Shakespeare.
Bardy. Billion. Bardy, Bardy.
Mr. Bard.
Beardy, Beardy, Bardy.
Thanks for the plays.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
On this episode of Encyclopod, the following sources were used. Bill Bryson's Shakespeare, part of the Eminent Live series. Jermaine Greer's Very Short Introduction to Shakespeare. And, of course, our old friend, Wikipedia.